Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And thanks for hanging out with us today, Hollow Cult. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk about some stuff for a little bit. So before we get into the crux of the show, we got some housekeeping to do. If that's not your jam, you probably want to fast forward to about the 6 minute mark. If it is, stay here and listen to us chit chat a little bit. It's cool. If you're not new here, welcome back. Got a great show lined up for the day for you today, this week today. We got our buddy Bryce on, and he's got some Southern Illinois squatchiness and strangeness we're going to talk about once we get into it. So make sure you stick around. Check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. You know, it's a fun thing. It's a fun thing to do. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to share, or you'd like to come on and be a guest, Kyle's got some information for you.
I do. It's easy. As always, it's in the show notes. That's a foolproof way of getting what you need, but it's just an easy remember. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out in as much detail as you possibly can. Hit that send button. Steve's going to file it in his patented filing system. And then we're going to get it on the air. Or you can email a little synopsis of what you got going on, what you want to sit down and talk to us about. It's the best way to do it. Email's always going to be the most reliable way to get our attention. We get a little cluttered once in a while on social media. So email's always a preferred method.
We try our best, which is a lot of other people's worst.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon for $7 a month. You can jump over there. We got a bunch of Patreon exclusive episodes over there. You get all our normal shows early and ad free, which is cool. Got some Casket Breath jams over there. You guys can listen to the AI metal band from All Realms. And you kind of get heads up advancements on merch drops and sometimes merch coupons, all kinds of stuff. Speaking of merch, hollowskypodcast.com. We got a store. You can go over there and check some of the stuff out. We got shirts, hats, beanies, stickers, all kinds of cool stuff. The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Just throw a name out there. Anybody you know that's into weirdness, just keep the show growing. Keep throwing our name out. If you got other shows you'd like for us to collab with, hit them up, send them our name, send them our email. You know the drill. The other thing you can do is go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And you can also do this on social media, which is where this week's 5-star rating and review comes from. And it comes from our friend Chris on Facebook. Chris says, shout out to these guys. What makes them unique is these dudes will always go the extra mile with their research. Even with subject matter I've heard 100 times over, I find and learn something new with them. They also have fun with delivering research and bring a sense of humor to paranormal podcasts. We are pretty funny. I do say so myself.
I love the bout of confidence there, Steve.
Yeah. I'm the funniest person I know.
I would agree with that.
Which is about 6 people.
Hey, man.
We're blessed. Gotta take your wins. Gotta take your W's where you can get them.
I'm with you there, 100%. We don't get handed too many W's in life. And like you said, we gotta take them where we can get them.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeps us grounded sometimes. You got to inflate the ego a little bit, but then life will come in and keep you grounded.
Oh, yeah.
But we appreciate the kind words, Chris. Shout out to you on Facebook.
Yeah, much love.
Another way that you can support the show is support our fine sponsors that you're going to hear from now. And just like that, we are back. And we are here today with our friend Bryce. He shot me a message, said he's got some weirdness going on his farm, some squatchiness down in Southern Illinois. And we did a little talking before the show, and this guy's had a pretty weird life altogether. So we're going to get into some squatchiness and then get into some strangeness. Take it away.
All right. Well, just wanted to say thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on and hanging out with us.
Oh, definitely, man. Been a big fan of the show for years. Okay, so like I said earlier, feel free to stop me at any time. Okay. So we'll start off with the squatchiness. So I remember being a little kid and my grandma telling me a story about whenever my dad was only like 4 years old and my uncle was a newborn. She saw a honey bear across the road in the field. And so she got scared because it stood up on two legs and started walking. So she grabbed dad and she grabbed my uncle, ran in the house and hid in the closet until my grandpa got home that night from work. As a kid, her telling me this, I hear honey bear. I'm just thinking, okay, so like a brown bear. Okay, that's weird. I didn't think we had those. Well, our buddy Jeremiah Byron, his show. So fast forward, he's a good dude. So fast forward, I think about 2 years ago, I was listening to one of his episodes and he was talking to this guy named Country, and Country was talking about Bigfoot and all that. And he called them honey bears. And as soon as he said that, light bulb went off on that story grandma told me. So if my dad was 4 years old, that would have been like 1962. And so there's been activity out there at least since then. 10 years ago, my dad was out there on the farm. He's lived out there most of his life. And him and my cousin, they were at my cousin's place, which is maybe 3/8 of a mile from where my dad lives on the same road. And they were sitting there talking. It was getting to be about dusk. You know, the coyotes were all working up and everything out in the field across the road. You know, bugs and all that making noise. Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, dad just heard this loud, like, vicious roar. And he told me about it because he was like, everything went dead quiet. The hair on his arms and my cousin's arms stood up. And these are guys that do not scare easy. So that caught my attention, but still yet I was like, okay, well, that's weird. You know, I'm thinking, well, I mean, you know, there's cougar out there. There's bobcats. There's all kinds of different things out there. It could have been, but dad said it didn't sound like anything he'd heard before. So I was like, okay. So now we're going to fast forward to Mother's Day, 2023. Me and my wife and our kids went out to the farm. She wanted to go look for morels, and my dad told me where there might be some at still. So my cousin, the one that I was talking about that was with my dad whenever they heard it, he has passed at this point, since, you know, from then to 2023. But his place is still there. So we parked at his house and then walked behind there, went through the tall grass area by the pond, and then got over to the field that's behind there. It's about a 40-acre field back there, and it had been disced relatively recently, probably a week or so. And whenever we got out there, my son, he saw a bunch of big footprints. And at first, whenever I first looked at it, first thing I was thinking, just seeing them from a distance, is, okay, somebody's been out here with rubber boots or something on, you know, going through there, like somebody's been out here stealing morels. And so we walk up on it closer, and I know whenever you wear rubber boots, number one, you don't see toe prints. We saw toe prints once we got up on them. And I don't know anybody with an 18-inch foot.
Oof. That's a honker there.
Yeah.
18 inches by about 5.5 wide.
Holy smokes.
And it was cutting corner closest to the pond. It was cutting that corner going to the set of woods where my dad said the morels were. And we still went and looked for morels, but we didn't find any. But it was really weird, right? Because, like, I mean, we saw like a big spot in that tall grass area where like something had been bedding down there, you know, but I was thinking deer. I really, you know, I really didn't think anything. I wasn't expecting to find huge ass prints or anything. And so see that whenever we're coming back from the woods, going back into the field, ended up about, I want to say about 20 feet from where the print. No, I got that wrong. We're coming back in. There was the prints. And then right by the prints was the back half of a deer carcass, but it was like, you know, picked clean, but the bones were not scattered. And then 20 feet up from that was where the front half was. Oh, and the weird. Only thing that still had any fur on it was the front hooves from about like the joint down to the hoof.
That's strange.
Yeah, because it was like something just literally ripped it in half. Like, anytime I've been out there on, you know, walk around the woods or anything, and you come across like a coyote kill or something like that, the bones are always scattered. It's never, you know, together, or at least it's that together. And that was really strange too.
That is weird.
Yeah. And so, you know, made a mental note of it. We took pictures of the prints.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got pictures and stuff.
Hell yeah. You have to send them our way if you're cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did you happen to look and like, did you happen to see how long the stride was between the prints? Did you happen to make note of that?
Guessing, looking at it, take our stride, like a big stride for us, and add like another half step. So roughly 4-ish feet, maybe longer.
Pretty decent, side track.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, you know, they were side by side prints or anything either. It was like, you know, right foot forward, left foot forward, going like that. That was weird, right? You know, I'm like,
yeah,
okay, wow. Because then I remembered Dad's story, you know, which at that point would have been 8 years previous, about hearing something, which where he heard that come from would have been like at the front of Jerry's house, the field across the road. So, I mean, right there in that same vicinity. And that was weird. So, okay. I told Dad about it. I told this one guy that I used to be on his little team with, told him about it. And he didn't really want to check it out or nothing. And so I just kind of, I was like, all right. So I just kind of kept it to myself and just was like, I'm going to look into this more at another time. So let's see. Looking on here, I made a note. That's why I got my flashlight on here in the car.
Oh, you're good.
Did also, whenever we were in the woods, after we had followed the footprints into the woods, I did notice, and I don't know if it was purposely made or if it was just happened to be a bunch of sticks leaned up against the side of a tree in the middle of the woods there. But there was a small, what could possibly have been tree structure.
That's interesting.
I don't know though, because it wasn't very big. And like every time I've seen pictures of a tree structure or anything like that, they've always looked like pretty good size, you know? So that could have just been coincidental. But
I've seen some documentaries and read some stories where researchers think that the smaller ones are sometimes built as just like area markers. Like one will build it to let the other one know, hey, there's food here. You know, there's deer, there's water. Hell, they might even be eating morels. You don't know, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, is if, you know, the thought process, because I would be the same way. Even if I saw like a legit structure in the woods, I don't think I'm experienced enough to know for sure that's a Bigfoot structure. But when he said smaller, it made me wonder if that was markers, because it sounds like, just from the lineage that you've laid out, it sounds like migration patterns.
That's what I was wondering,
which tells me that Bigfoot has been around. I mean, we know it from, you know, native lore, but it would suggest that they've been around for a very long time to have migration patterns.
Yeah,
because you're not the first person that's describe that to us as well. There's people, ironically enough, you say your activity starts more in May, where we've had people contact us and say it starts more in the fall for them.
Yeah.
And as you think about it, Steve, because as the crow flies for him, it's a good jump, but it's because it's where they were calling in. It wasn't very far from us, was it? It was like an hour and a half to the east.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little over an hour south of you guys.
Right.
Which is what I was going to ask too. Like, you don't have to be specific, of course, but like, how are you close to Shawnee? Because Shawnee is a very, very squatchy area. There's tons of sightings that come from down there.
I'm within, we'll say, 25 miles of the Shawnee.
Oh, maybe so
the crow flies a little closer, but as far as like driving, probably 25 miles.
So definitely the same general area. So that's a lot. Because I know, what isn't it? Carter Bouchard, a lot of his squatch investigations and a lot of evidence he's picked up has been down in the Shawnee. So it's definitely a squatchy area down there.
Well, those dudes from the Squatchers have ran around down there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've talked with them a couple of times. And one of my friends, he's the one that we made a YouTube video about my sighting and everything. He's really good friends with them as well.
I emailed them to try to get them on here, but I haven't heard anything back yet. So hopefully things will work out to where we can get those dudes on here, because I'd like to pick their brains too. It's awesome, first off, getting to talk to people from the same general vicinity
that
have had encounters, and kind of it's almost like putting a puzzle together, you know?
I was going to bring that up too. Like, how wild would it be as if his Bigfoot is connected to previous listeners' Bigfoot that mentioned it, you know, on their property in the fall?
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, it has a clear migration pattern, which is weird. Kind of that their migration would be more toward the north near the end of the year, but they're also bigger, covered in fur. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And like, I was talking thing too is like, I didn't like, you know, 2023, 2024 didn't really do a whole lot of poking around out there, and, or even really like having my dad like listen for things or whatnot. But this year has been very productive with calls, knocks. I saw it the second time this year, or I don't know if it was the same one, but I saw another one. You know, I had a second sighting of one. I'm assuming it's the same one, though, just because it looked about the same, except the distance I saw from was a little bit longer because it was up a hill. But
so you've actually seen them
twice.
Okay.
That's wild. I would consider going out into the field. If I could just see a footprint, I'm good. I'm sold. Bigfoot is fucking legit. Like, that's what I'm trying. Like, seeing a Bigfoot itself would be fan fucking tastic, but just what I would want out of the experience is to see a footprint. Cause I think that in itself would blow my mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah, dude. Whenever we saw that trail of prints going, cutting that corner, I mean, I'm just like, no way. Like,
I couldn't imagine. For me, that would cement Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause I've talked about it before. Like, there's a vast difference in believing and experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, just seeing, like, I'm picturing me and Steve out there, and we just see a trail of Shaquille O'Neal footprints walking through the woods. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was, man. Cause I was just like, I mean, I wasn't out there looking for that. I was looking for morels.
Right.
I fucking found Bigfoot prints. Like, oh, okay, this is better. But yeah, it was fucking nuts, man. I apologize for cussing.
No, you're good.
You've listened to the show
before, right? All right, but
You're good.
But yeah, so okay, so now we'll go to 2024. And this was when I had my first sighting of actually seeing the creature. So I was bringing my grandpa. He had dementia. He's since passed. And I had my youngest son with me. He was 3 at the time. And we were going out there to the farm. And I was only, I just crossed over the bridge where the creek is. And I always look whenever I'm driving out there, you know, look to see what I see in the fields, you know, deer, turkey, whatever. Or if somebody's out there that shouldn't be out there, things like that. Because we're kind of 911 ourselves out there, you know. Yeah. And I caught movement out of the corner of my right eye. And I looked over. And when I looked over, it's so weird, man. I see something huge bent over digging in the hillside of the field, because it's got a slight bit of a hill to it. And especially since after the coal mine came through and longwalled and everything's kind of sank in various spots. It was right there digging. And what caught my attention was its arm flinging back, because I mean, like, stretch your arm out, add another half an arm. And that's how long this arm was going back. Solid black. It had a, like a, kind of like a shine or a sheen to the fur, like a horse. You're like, you know, like a black horse, like when the sunlight hits it, it kind of looks kind of shiny a little bit. It's kind of like that. Or maybe it was wet. I don't know, because it, the direction that it was, its back was facing was me and the creek. Like, it was kind of turned at about a 90 degree angle from me. So I never saw the face, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because depending on how the face looked, it could have been horrifying. But
right. Hey, Holocult, if you're someone who likes your nicotine discreet, fast, and with enough flavor options to rival a candy aisle, listen up. Do we have some news for you? We're partnering with Free Pouches, and they just might be the most convenient upgrade your daily routine didn't know it needed. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. Free gives you a wide variety of options, from everything like strength range, offering pouches in 3, 6, 9, 12, and 15 milligrams, also in 6 distinct flavors: mint, wintergreen, lush, sweet, original, and new watermelon. Pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around, no guessing. You might like a little suspense in your podcast, but you don't have to have them in your pouches. Just so you don't sleep on the best value pouches in the market, our listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with the promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch, F-R-E, pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on. Hey, Holocult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep, and you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, HoloCult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
It was just like, and I mean, I only saw this thing for like 4 seconds max because I had grandpa in the car. I had my youngest in the car. So I wasn't about to stop and get out and go check it out because, you know, what if it was hostile? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm just like, okay, I got to hurry up and drop him off because I'm going back and I'm going to take another look and see if it's there. Well, whatever we got, just about to where I was going to lose sight of it, it stood up. And when it stood up, the body build on this thing, it was not like the Patterson-Gimlin film. Like, it wasn't like Patty. Have you guys seen the movie or know what I'm talking about? It's a Sam Elliott movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched
it. Yeah, I haven't watched it either. I know what you're talking about.
Well, If Google, like what the Bigfoot looked like in that, because not the color of it, but the body build of it, it was more of a lean, like very big, but leaner than like Patty was. Like, you know, like you'll hear some people say like it looked like a basketball player almost out there, except like 8 foot tall, kind of like that. Not super skinny, but not hulking either.
And if you view that, and I feel like
5 yards away whenever I saw it, like where, yeah,
right. And I feel like a lot of people may hear that and be like, well, that wasn't Bigfoot or this. But if you view it as a simple, let's just say for argument's sake here, a primate, I mean, animals go hungry all the time. They have illnesses that will cause that, you know, to be malnourished and lose weight and so on. So that could be a reason as to why it was lean.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just a leaner Bigfoot in general.
Yeah. And see, and I wasn't really sure because I was like, holy shit. Cause I remembered the footprints, you know, from the year before. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. So I reached out to Joe Doyle from Hellbent Holler. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey man, can I just run this by you? Because I'm not sure what I saw. I think I know what I saw, but I don't know what I saw because I didn't see the face. And he was like, man, he goes, it sounds like a Bigfoot to me. He was like, especially since you found prints the year before. And like, it wasn't the same field that I found the prints in the year before, but that field was literally at the top of the hill. And this was at the bottom of the hill. The hill's about a good quarter mile, probably maybe a little bit more than a quarter mile. Hill and from the creek going up to where like my dad's house is on the farm. And yeah, I mean, so it was pretty wild. So I got home, I told my wife about it, and I was like, we're going back out there tomorrow and I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna see if I can't find anything to prove what I saw. Well, it rained that night, which of course I was like, fuck me, because you know, rains all the time in May down here. And but we went, and her and the boys stayed in the car, and I just went venturing off into the field. And eventually I came across where it was at, found footprints, and I found where it was scraping. Now, because of it raining and it being on a hill, the prints were kind of filled in, but you could still see the indentation and the dig where it was scraping at. You could see in there, too. You could see a little hole, too, where maybe it had reached in. And I don't know if it was grabbing a snake, going for a gopher or what, you know.
That's so weird.
But it was weird, yeah. And but Amber said that whenever I got there, whenever I was just standing where the hill was coming down and everything, that she could barely see me standing. I'm 5'10", and whenever I bent down to look at the scrape area, she lost sight of me completely. And when I saw this thing, I saw probably like upper thigh with it bent over, scraping, or, you know, and throwing the dirt back and everything. So I saw like upper thigh up, just to give you a reference of tallness on that thing.
Big,
big, big, big, yeah.
So I never heard of it, of Sasquatch digging. Like, I know that's weird. Like, you hear there's theories that maybe they bury their dead, but like, I don't know. It's not strange that it was digging, because obviously it's probably like a forager, could have been digging for roots, could have been digging for, like you said, gophers or snakes or anything.
This time of year was trying to find something to eat. Maybe it saw something and was just like, fuck it, I'm going after it. That's lunch, you know?
Yeah, just the mental picture of it like slinging dirt behind itself is.
It was weird.
Crazy.
Dude, I mean, and I know that sounds insane, but I mean, it's what I saw, you know? And it's like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. And then,
and so, the hair like, sheen, like the sheen you said describing the hair, it immediately made me think of like the theory about them, like they're, if you watch a lot of like the DNA checks for hair and stuff, they say the follicles are like hollow, I believe.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with like maybe some sort of camouflage they have, which that's immediately what I thought when you said the sun was like reflecting off of it, kind of making it sheen like. Maybe that's something to do with like the camouflage.
Yeah, because like I was just like, is it wet? Like, you know, now I mean, because it was just weird. I don't even it was just weird. And like I think I figured out where it came from, like coming from the creek, like the path it took. Because whenever, number one, there was just this great big, like, where something had been and walking through, big and broad-shouldered. And whenever I was walking back there trying to see if I could find some more prints or anything to take pictures of, I ended up seeing a tree branch break. But it wasn't just, like, snapped down or anything. Because, I mean, like, that ice storm we had last winter, I mean, there's a ton of those that look like that out there now. This was snapped down and then twisted around several times. So that told me, and it was 10 feet up in the air. So, I mean, that tells me that was something with a reach that had intention.
And yeah. Had hands, because you got to grip that to be able to twist it.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't no way I was getting my ass up there and doing that.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
And dude, that was in May. That was in May, too.
Yeah, that was in 2024. It was in May, about 2 weeks before Mother's Day.
Interesting.
And in 2023, the footprints, I saw them on Mother's Day.
That's awesome.
I'm going to take a look at my paper here and make sure I didn't miss anything.
I was talking to a guy at work who is like an avid hunter, and he's into the paranormal, but he never really like got into Bigfoot. He's like, I didn't think, because I was talking, I'm like, man, we got a guy coming on the show who's got possibly some Bigfoot on his property down in Southern Illinois. And he goes, I didn't think there's Bigfoot in Illinois. So I'm like, oh, contraire. So I looked it up, and Illinois is top five. Yeah, top five.
Top five in sightings.
Yeah. According to the BFRO, there's more Bigfoot sightings in Illinois than there's in Alaska, which you'd think like it would be out there. I guess there's less people, which I mean, I guess it kind of accounts for sightings, but
yeah,
but like it's up there with like California and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because it's right smack in the middle of the country. Like it's,
yeah,
I looked that up. I'm like, that's fucking wild.
Yeah. But I mean, dude, there's all sorts of weird shit going on with Southern Illinois, man. I mean, number one, why did they call the area I'm in Little Egypt?
Yeah, that's sad. That in itself's weird.
And, we got Garden of the Gods down there at the Shawnee. I mean, Giant City. It's like,
Was your second sighting also, when was your second sighting? Was that in May?
My second sighting was earlier this year. Yeah. And So had my sighting in 2024. I contacted my friend Joe Turry about it, and I was talking with him, and I'm like, look, dude, like, I know you investigate these things. He makes documentary films for his YouTube channel. And I was like, you want to come check this out, man? See if we can find something. And it took a while before, you know, our schedules worked out where he could come on down and do it. But when he did, let's see here. Okay, so the week before he was coming out, I was with my dad, and we were unloading the lawnmower that I had borrowed, and it was about 9:30 at night, and coming, like, where we were at the barn across from his house, and he went, because he was like, hey, one of the boys left their soccer ball here, I'm going to go grab it. I was like, all right, and he went to go grab it, and there's one of the three ponds that we have, Kyle, is about, I don't know, I'd say 200, 300 yards back from the house. I could be off on that. But, you know, 9:30 at night, pitch black out there, and I'm sitting there, I'm undoing the trailer and everything, getting it off the hitch, and all of a sudden I hear a whoop. But it wasn't like a loud whoop. It was almost like a, it was faint enough where you almost ignored it, you know? And then I was like, wait a second. I go, Dad, did you hear? He's like, yep. He's like, I hear stuff like that all the time out here, son. I'm like, what? I'm like, why didn't you tell me this? He was just like, well, I was going to. But
it's just another Thursday night, you know?
Yeah. And then he started telling me about all these different sounds he's heard just since I had my sighting back in 24. And I was like, okay. So he was telling me about, like, he'll build fires at night and stuff out there a lot. And, you know, like after midnight, he'll be sitting out there and, he'll hear whoops. He's had a very shrill, like 5 second long whistle happen at him. And always coming from that same direction, like over by the pond behind his house. And I mean, there's some old barns back behind there too. There's some fruit that grows back there. I can't think of what the heck it's called right now, but there's some fruit trees back there. And, you know, so, I mean, there's definitely an area where something big like that could chill and not be seen, you know? I mean, it was wild. He was telling me all about it. So that was right before Joe came out to film, and the second documentary. We did the one for YouTube. We got it out. If anybody's interested in watching it, is it okay if I say the name of it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Cool. Just like go to YouTube, search the Pond Creek Monster. And because that's what I came up with.
And, I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything's Bigfoot. I was just like, I was thinking, well, Murfreesboro, you know, they've got the big muddy monster. I'm like, I've got the Pond Creek. So Pond Creek Monster. And so we called it that. And it's about an hour long. And, you know, I mean, it's just me telling my story like I'm telling it here. Except this episode here with you guys has got more info because more's happened since then. And, right. So, hey, holocult.
That's right.
But, so we're sitting there and we've been filming most of the day and it was getting to get about dusk and, we were going to go set up the fire because, where my 13 acres that I personally own, there's a little like roadway that the coal mine had built because they tried to dig a well back there, but they didn't hit waters, but they left the trail and everything and all the gravel and all that. So we used that to set up a fire pit area back there. And my wife was going to interview and tell stories that my grandma told her that even I didn't know about things she's experienced whenever she used to live out there on the farm. And so like the honey bear story, some ghost stories and just other weird shit like UFOs and whatnot. So whenever we were getting there, there was Joe, Jason, Russ, me, and then Amber got there right afterwards. So eventually there was five, but at the time of my second sighting, there was four of us, and Russ was sitting right next to me in the back of the truck on the tailgate. So it was Jason's truck, and he has this great big, like, F-350 or something like that. And he was backing out of the drive. And whenever he was backing out of the drive and turning into the road, we're looking down the hill towards where the creek is. And I'm looking, and I'm like, is somebody down there standing in the road? Because there is a house down that way, but it's like further down the road and going back up the other hill. There's no reason that anybody should have been standing down there. Plus, they looked really big, like tall, you know? And from that distance, a guy like me or you, we're not going to look very big. So I was like, okay, that's weird. And I'm like, do you see that? And Russ is like, yeah, I don't. He's like, that looks too tall to be a person. And Russ is a skeptic. I mean, he's big skeptic. He likes the idea, but he doesn't think it's really here, you know? And then there he is looking at it with me.
Right.
And then once again, it was black, kind of on the leaner side, but still had some size to it, you know? But like whenever it was facing us for sure, but it almost had a little bit of a lean to it, kind of like a curiosity, like it was trying to see if we were going away from it or coming towards it, you know? And I mean, I've told this story and people have been like, dude, why didn't you tell the guys to stop? Well, I mean, the whole time I'm looking at it, the truck's moving and me and Russ are trying to figure out what it is we're looking at. And then once it clicks, we're already over there getting ready to turn and go up into where the fire area is going to be, the bonfire area. So we told them after that. And of course they were like, oh shit. So like we were, you know, they wanted to go back and look. Nothing was there by then, but that was weird. But I feel very, very confident in it being either the same one or like, in its family clan or whatever that might be out there, because it was like, I mean, the field was right there where I saw it in 2024, you know, it's like, there was the creek, there was the field. It was just standing in the road, staring right up the road at us. So,
especially with the build being similar.
Yeah. Like,
what time of year, what time of year was this?
Let's see. This would have been late July, early August. I can't remember exactly which month because it was right there at like the changing of the months.
So but not too far away from May.
No. And I want to say it was like last week of July, first week of August, somewhere in there. But yeah, it was weird. It was definitely weird. And I have whenever we did the YouTube documentary, you know, Joe told me, because I told him, I was like, hey man, I found a bunch of footprints out here, because him and his camera guy he had at the time, it wasn't Russ, it was somebody else, they had to be back up in Springfield where they live at, by like, I don't know, it was like early afternoon, so we did like a morning to about lunchtime investigation. I'm out there, you know, looking around some more, and like, I got to thinking, this is what I've been doing and it's been working. So like, you'll see like on podcasts and TV shows, whenever like a Native American's talking about Bigfoot, how they'll say something like, you know, just like, if you're out there, just announce yourself, you know, let them know, hey, I'm here in peace. You know, you guys are welcome here. Things like that, you know? So I've been doing that and then just asking if they could give me like a sign of its presence or something along those lines. And dude, it was fucking crazy, man. So I'm sitting there, I'm in that field again. I did that. I'm maybe 15 feet off the road in the field. And right there, I look down and like, 4 or 5 feet in front of me, I find a footprint, toes, everything. I'm like, okay, now it was old. It wasn't brand new. It was old, but I found it. And I found that one. That one was 16 inches. I found some other ones that were a little bit smaller, like probably around 14. I mean, I wear a size 13, but like the only reason that I know that these weren't like me or somebody else is because they had toe prints in them. It wasn't, there was no like shoe or boot, rubber boot outline, anything like that. No tread, nothing like that. Like I was always able to make out the toe prints. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I'm sitting here taking pictures and everything like that. And then coming from the creek in the tree line, I hear a really weird sound. And this sound, dudes, this sound, it sounded like if you're like you had like a deep belly growl, like you were hungry or something, you know? But you were mumbling that sound. That's what it sounded like coming from the tree line. Not so much like the samurai chatter that Ron Moorhead caught. This was more like a sound. I know that sounded really retarded just then, but that's about the only way I could really do it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Dude, it was, man. And it did that for like 5 minutes. And I'm just like, okay, just clicking, you know, taking pictures and things like that, walking around in the field. I never felt like I was in danger. You know, I never have once at all ever felt anything hostile coming from these things. So that was wild.
And almost then, like it was just announcing its presence, just letting you know, hey, yeah, we're like, out here.
I asked it to give me a sign if it was around, you know, and then it started doing that. I thought maybe seeing the footprints was the sign. But hearing that, you know, I was like, well, maybe that's the sign.
I mean, maybe it's a mutual respect thing. Just, you know, you're coexisting, sharing the land together. It's using resources, but it's being appreciative of it. Mm-hmm. And it's even crazier to me to think that, like, you talk about how the natives would reach out and communicate, which would be in their language. Mm-hmm. And then you reach out and communicate and have responses in our language, which means somewhere down the line, either it has adapted itself to our language, or it has some type of, whether it be mental connection or a spiritual connection, something out of the norm to, you know, or maybe it's intuitive enough that it recognizes, it's able to read your body tones and your body language and the tones that are coming out, you know, because we as humans, it's not hard to tell when somebody has a threatening tone and threatening body language. You know what I mean? Like we're pretty perceptive of that.
Yeah. It could even like, maybe it can lock into your like intention, you know, even beyond like body language.
I never, like whenever I'm out there squatching, I never take any weapons with me, which I know people say is just completely idiotic of me to do. But I've never felt a reason to have to every time I move, you know? So October 17th, just last month, we did like, Joe came back down and, Jason came down and we did for Joe's channel, we did we were supposed to do a live stream on YouTube. But there was some weird shit going on out there with like electronics malfunctioning. It showed on Joe's phone or whatever that we were live on YouTube, but we were not live on YouTube. It was so weird. The video recorded and all that, but it never did go live on YouTube. And so here we are the whole time thinking that we're talking to people and all that stuff, put, you know, like got people watching and all that. And no, nothing. But before they got there, because they were down at Dixon Springs, where that's where they had their camp set up. And so whenever they finally got to the farm, I'd already been sitting out there in my car. I just pulled up. It was probably about 6 o'clock when I got to the farm, and they got there a little bit after 8. So, you know, I was sitting out there, and I just went ahead, rolled the windows down, turned the car off completely and just listened. I was like, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll hear something. Well, it wasn't too long, about maybe 15, 20 minutes. And I've always heard people describe hearing something coming through the woods that sounded like a bulldozer or a rhinoceros just blasting through trees and whatnot. I heard that, or it was the top of a tree falling out of the top of the tree and hitting every branch on the way down when there was no wind. Twice. Because it happened once, and then it happened again about 10 minutes later. And I mean,
I was going to say, like, what are the odds of being in the right spot at the right time to hear a tree top out?
Yeah.
And then you said you heard it twice in the same night. So yeah. Kind of eliminates itself.
10 minutes to each other. That was like when I was like, what the fuck? You know, because I'm like, okay, that's weird. I mean, I knew my dad was on his tractor, but he was like other end of the farm. So it wasn't like he was in the woods directly across from where my car was parked at. Because like where I parked at was just in, right there by the barn that's in front of his house, where he has his fires at and everything and hears things. And I mean, whenever they got there, I told them. So we went over there and like they had their night vision and all that stuff. I was running the parabolic dish, heard a clear as day wood knock, like something, it almost sounded like something took a baseball bat and just smacked the hell out of a tree once. And then also I heard several whoops on there and trying to think. It was like you could hear the coyotes, but then you could hear something trying to imitate the coyotes.
That's weird.
Yeah, like it had a deeper voice, and at the end of a coyote yelp, this thing, it had some roughness to it at the end, you know?
That's strange. And you do hear accounts of that, them trying to mimic things, mimic coyotes, mimic owls.
Dad's heard it mimic a train whistle, because behind his house, the train tracks that go to the coal mine that's not too far away from the farm, it goes through several times a day and always at night, Dad said. And like one went through, but it was already gone. And then a few minutes later, he hears something try to do a train whistle. But whenever it ended on the whistle, it was like, you know, like sounded like, yeah.
T-Rex out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? He was telling me, I mean, he's heard, I tried to get him to, you know, go on a show with me and talk to you guys, because he did do the documentary, but he's kind of since then like, okay, I'm just going to tell you what I hear and you can tell people. He's like, I don't want to do that again. He's, you know, he likes to keep to himself, you know, and I get that.
Yeah.
I
for but, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's heard quite a few different things out there, man. He's heard things trying to mimic owls. I mean, and there are owls out there, a ton of owls out there even. And I mean, I've heard them, and you can definitely hear, you know, that, but then he'll explain what he hears and how it ends, and it always just sounds like what you hear people say who have heard a Bigfoot mimic an owl, how it almost sounds like it, but right there at the end, it just kind of starts to sound a little not owlish. So
I'm trying to think of the guy's name, man, I cannot remember for the life of me, but he did a bunch of investigations like just north of us, like up in Greene County and Pike County. And he got a bunch of super weird mimicry recordings. Like sometimes you hear, like in squatchy areas, you'll hear the classic like zipper sound. People constantly talk, not constantly, but there's multiple reports of people hearing like a tent zipper zip up when there's nothing around. Yeah. He's got some of those on recording. Something mimicking like yard tools, like a weed eater and shit out in the middle of the woods.
That would fuck me up.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. Like I guess you don't think about them mimicking like non-biological sounds they're hearing, but if they attribute those sounds to humans, like what better way of them try to blend in to be like, all right, I'm going to make this sound that this human was making. I saw in his yard the other day, you know?
Well, parrots do it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like parrots do the same thing.
Like they'll mimic any noise they hear.
Yeah.
And they're honestly, now that we're talking about it, they're actually good at it. Mm-hmm. To where it's like, I've heard them. I just watched a video the other day of the one like mimicking a blender or your phone camera snap.
Yeah.
And they're almost there. They're almost, I mean, there is that there where you can kind of tell it's the parrot doing it, where it's not perfect, but it's there.
Yeah.
Just like, kind of like what you're just saying with the mimicking the owl and the just coyote.
Different
and
enough.
It's just different enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. And like, you know, Kyle, how like we were talking, you know, like the Native American way and everything.
Yeah.
There used to be a Native American settlement out there on the farm way before we ever owned it. Like I was telling you guys earlier before we started, there was also a fort out on the farm. And the fort, it was called Fort Jordan. And apparently from research I'd done and everything, it was one of the first forts built like this side of the Ohio River in America's expansion westward. So you can only imagine, you know, how that went down and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And my whole thing is like, you know, Native Americans that were there, there's definitely Native Americans there. Like I found a ton of arrowheads when I was a kid walking that creek and everything, just walking around the banks and whatnot after a big rain or something like that. And the water would be going through it, just unearth a bunch of flint and arrowheads and everything. But, I'm wondering just maybe if those things have been around since then, you know? Like it makes me wonder, because like, I don't think I would have the luck I've had if I'd have went in strapped, went in even with a knife or something like that, and not done how I always do every time I go and I announce myself and all that. Not just like, you know, be like, you know, Forrest Brothers, things like that. I don't say, hey, Bigfoot, you know, like, I try to be as polite and everything as I can when I'm doing it, and just, you know, giving it the respect that it deserves to have for something the size that it is.
Right.
And just letting it know it's welcome. And, you know, as long as you respect our property and respect our possessions and whatnot, and don't try to do anything crazy, then we aren't going to have any issues kind of deal, you know? And, so far, so good.
Right. I was actually wondering that. I was going to bring it up, but we kind of strayed away, and now you've kind of brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that there's been hunting on your property.
Yeah.
Of some kind, like with rifles and shotguns.
Yeah. My cousin, back when he was alive, he hunted all the time, fished all the time. And my other cousin, he goes out there and hunts occasionally. My dad, once in a blue moon, not very often.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was wondering, you know, you made the comment about, you know, some people would think that you're crazy for not carrying some type of defensive tool out there, whether it be a firearm or a knife or even a large stick, whatever the fuck it may be.
Right.
It's weird to think that it somehow registers that and would be like, all right, I'm not going to approach this individual because they maybe not have the intent to harm me, but they have the ability to harm me now. It's interesting. It's an interesting thought process there.
Yeah.
Because a person like me, I always carry a knife no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those situations, I've thought about if me and Steve just go out solo, odds are I would probably carry a firearm, and it would never be with the intent to harm said Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. It would be, with the intent of I will defend us if that ever need to happen, right? But it's interesting to think that maybe that in itself spearheads all of it, and they're like, no, we're not even going to go around them because
yeah, they have the ability to kill us.
They have the ability to hurt.
Right.
It's interesting.
Exactly. Some people will be like, oh, they're bulletproof, but every one thing I've always heard people agree on is if you get them in the eye, you got them. But
I mean, we've heard stories of them being taken down.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the only way I would ever, you know, like say, God forbid, but say that it did do something that proved that it was not, you know, a docile creature or something like that out there, like, you know, harmed something or whatever, then I might start packing when I'm out there. But, you know, until that happens, I'm just going to keep doing like I am and hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you've almost reached like a mutual respect of like, yeah. You know, hey, I'm here, you're here. We've kind of felt each other out and we're good. Mm-hmm. Like, I trust you. Like, I think it's the best way to put it. It's a mutual respect.
Yeah. And you know, what's crazy is like, cause I grew up on that farm as a kid. I remember like, I used to walk through the fields and stuff to cut over to my grandparents' house and everything. Cause I wasn't about to walk in the road cause people drive like maniacs out there when they are going out there. And, like I'd be walking through the fields and I would hear what sounded like somebody building a barn or something like that is what I always thought as a kid. Cause you would just hear like what sounded like hammer on wood. And I mean, now, you know, of course as a kid, I never even heard of Bigfoot, you know,
right.
It wasn't until like that freaking, X-Files or something like that, you know, like I know whenever they did the Jersey Devil episode, it wasn't about a Bigfoot, but like the way they kind of made it look almost made you feel that way a little bit. It ended up being like feral people, but not even the real Jersey Devil. But yeah, I mean, you know, like that's whenever like I started kind of taking an interest in the things was that show. But never once did I ever think anything I heard out there, you know, as a kid was anything other than just some farmer doing something out there. Because used to in the, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, there used to be quite a bit. Well, not quite a bit. There's a lot more people out there than there are now. When the coal mine came through in 06, 07, almost everybody sold out to them and moved. We didn't sell out. They just, you know, paid us for any subsidence damages and things like that. And that way we still own our property, but they own pretty much everything else out there. So, I mean, you can just imagine all this property that nobody's lived in, just growing up, trees, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's the perfect camouflage for those things to be out there. Yeah. And I mean, there's the creek, there's other creeks, there's a shitload of ponds all over the place out there. I mean, the train tracks, they can use that as like a interstate system, sort of.
And I was thinking that.
Yeah, because like the one that goes to the coal mine, the one specific coal mine, I won't say its name just to kind of keep the mystery. but it will connect to the railroad tracks that eventually take you down into the Shawnee.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, because it's realistically, it's not that far of a trek, especially for these things that hang out in the woods all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if they did
whatnot. I mean, it wouldn't take them that long.
It's a good observation too, to suggest that they would use the railroad as a form of transportation, because I mean, I could almost back that up because, you know, I worked in the tree industry, and we had a skid steer with a giant mulcher head on it. So it would just literally eat all the brush all the way to the dirt, and we would make dirt paths everywhere.
Yeah.
Animals use the path of least resistance.
Yep. Yeah.
All the time. A lot of people will swear to you, you are ruining the deer hunting in this area by doing this. And I will promise you, every single time we would make a path like that, the very next day there were deer prints all over that.
Oh, I bet.
Animals get curious. They find that path of least resistance, and that becomes, I mean, you see it all the time when you're out in the woods anyways, yeah. Deer runs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Deer runs are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it would make perfect sense that Bigfoot would utilize something like that because it is a path of least resistance for him.
Or yeah. like electrical path wire, like ways that are kept clear out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It makes, with the history of the area or the property there, especially going back into like Native American, it makes me wonder if maybe there was some sort of like generational like respect pact between whatever Sasquatch that were on the area and like the Native Americans, which kind of, you know, grew into what you have now.
I mean, you know, that's a definite fair question and safe assumption. Cause that's where I'm at with it too. Is like it was weird. I was talking to my wife about it because like there's other shit going on out there too, other than just Bigfoot. But she said, you know, not many families have property that's been in the family, you know, close to 150 years. And we do. And then she said, she made this comment one time and it just kind of stuck with me. She said it was almost like the land chose our family to be its stewards. If that makes any sense.
I like that.
Yeah. And man, she's super intuitive like that. And I was just like, maybe. I mean, I didn't really, at the time I didn't think much of it, but then whenever I started thinking about it later, I was like, damn. So
yeah, I mean, I think there's something like to it. I think there's something to it. And I think what you said, Steve, probably like logically makes the most sense, because if we stepped back and we looked at it from the lens of Bigfoot is a creature.
Mm-hmm.
The creature's not going to give a fuck if that's your property, because right. it's always going to view it as, this is my territory.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fact that it has this form of mutual respect, there's not a lot of animals out there that do that.
No.
That have this, like, almost like a bartering, give and take type situation. I know some animals will, but there's not, it's not of a long list, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's rad that you guys, like, you almost built like a rapport with the Bigfoot out there. It's bizarre. Yeah,
like, they know it's safe.
Everything, man. Like, I'm glad you said that instead of me. Like, it's so weird. It's like, and like, you know, like I'll talk about it with like some friends at work, but like, there'll be other guys like, oh, don't believe anything Bryce says. He believes in Bigfoot. You know what I mean? I'm
just yeah.
Trust me, we know.
Yeah.
I get it all the time being the weirdo podcast guy at work. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever
metalhead at work?
Hell yeah.
Too. Have you ever thought about like maybe like trying to gift with them? Like, leaving some apples or some shit. Like, you see that all the time on all of the squatching shows, but I was just curious if that ever crossed your mind.
I've thought about it, but the only thing is I'm not sure where I would do it at. Cause like, I'm like, do I go to that field? I mean, that field right now, I think has winter wheat planted in it. Cause I'm pretty sure they just cut the soybeans not maybe a month ago. I mean, but that is where I've had the most activity and have seen twice. So that would be the perfect spot to do it. Only thing is trying to find like, you know, some area out there where a tractor's not going to get it and it would still find it. I have thought about maybe doing it on my cousin that passed away on the back deck railing, like right there where I first found those prints back in 2023. Thought about doing that. But again, I just don't know, because there's three or four different areas on the farm where there seems to be the most activity for sure. There's another spot that I didn't have this encounter, but my brother did whenever he was out looking for dad, because my stepmom, who doesn't really believe in any of this stuff, but she just, you know, likes to hear us talk about it and things like that. She was out. It was nighttime. Dad had been bush hogging all night or all afternoon. And he decided after he got done that he was just going to go fishing. And he was fishing over there at my other cousin on, he lives on the main road that goes through there. It's on the most eastern part of the farm. And there's a big pond, about a little over an acre size pond right in his backyard. So dad was over there fishing, and it was weird because my stepmom, she was outside at their house, which is on the other end of the farm, and swore she heard dad yelling help coming from the woods. Yeah. Now, this one I don't like to talk about because I've heard that sound. And the night I heard it was the night we were doing the night investigation last month on the 17th. It was weird. But like my brother, he went running out towards the woods and he was listening and everything, hollering from my dad. Never heard nothing. He never heard it say help or anything. He never heard that. So he went and got my dad's buddy that lived down the road a little ways. And both of them were out looking for him. And they ended up on the, the North Woods on the farm. They were over there and they said they heard something big growling at them coming from the woods. And it was like a, almost like a show of force growl, the way he described it. Cause he was like, you need to talk to your dad about what I heard. I go, what you heard? He was like, yeah. I was like, you tell me. I was like, you heard it. Tell me. And so he went ahead and told me like a couple of days later, because whenever I saw him, it was a dollar store. But, it's like, come on. But, yeah. So that I don't like to talk about very much because I mean, what do they say? Something that's yelling for help is.
Not a Bigfoot.
I don't really think that's out there.
Yeah, but, that's not a Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where I lose people a lot too, because they're like, oh yeah, right, you've got that and Bigfoot. You know, it's like, dude, it's a big fucking farm. And it's just weird too, though, because there's been UFO sightings out there for decades. My dad and uncle, when they were kids, they were coming home from Johnston City, and my grandma was driving, and a cigar-shaped UFO followed them from town all the way out to the farm, and just, like, it went, like, it hovered by the house, and then it went on across the road, and the way that grandma described it to Amber was, she said that it looked like it almost lowered down into the woods across. But I mean, if you think about direction of travel and everything, it could have just kept going east, and that would have also made it look like it was kind of lowering down. So I don't know. But I mean, I've seen things out there that I can't explain in the sky. The night we did that investigation on the 17th, we saw a bunch, like Jason had this this green laser that you can like shoot up into the sky, and it's like super powerful. Supposedly you that show Skinwalker Ranch, like how they shoot those lasers up there, it's like a smaller version of that. Anyways, he shot that up in there and clicked it for like, you know, a few long pauses, and then, you know, doing that. And it wasn't too long after that, we started noticing a bunch of red orbs in the sky. And that was weird because I was like, dude, don't tell me you just called in fucking 3i Atlas. I mean, it was, I was like, don't fucking tell me. And we're sitting there and we're just watching them, right? And it's weird because they're like kind of moving and then they would like phase out and then they'd phase back in and it would do that. I mean, and my dad was right there with us watching it. And it was just weird because it was kind of a cloudy night that night. But then whenever these things showed up, the clouds kind of just started to go away for a good 45 minutes. And we're watching this. And I mean, it's just weird because it's just like, well, why are they phasing in and phasing out? And why does it look like they're kind of going, you know, back and forth a little bit too? Jason was looking with his, I think it was a night vision. And he was like, I can still see him whenever it looks like they're phasing out to the naked eye. He's like, I can still see him. He's like, they're still there. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, Joe texted me about 3 days after that. And this is whenever he told me this, dude, this, like, I was like, what the fuck? He told me that whenever he ran the footage through like some filters and whatnot to try and get like a good look at what was going on, that he saw a big pyramid shaped UFO and all those lights was one thing.
Oh shit.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, oh hell. Okay. Okay. Great. So I'm thinking pyramid UFO. Okay. Well, not that long ago, there was a pyramid UFO sighted in what, Mississippi or something like that.
Yeah, there's been a few.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say there's been one in like Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, do you know about what time that was whenever that was sighted? Like, was it last month?
Oh, it's been a while ago.
The D.C. one's been a minute.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, that was weird because, like, I didn't see a pyramid. That's what he said showed up on film after running some different filters over the image.
Right.
All I saw was just the red orbs, you know? And, I mean, it's an interesting area out there. Like that's about the best way I can put it, man, because I mean, shit, you know, like I've seen ghosts out there. And the funny thing about that is, so after my great uncle and my great grandmother passed away, back in 06, my grandparents asked me to move into that house on that side of the farm. That way somebody was over there to keep an eye on things, 'cause that's where all the equipment was. And I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I moved in there and, let's see. The first thing I noticed ghost-wise was I was working really weird shifts at my job. And it was like you would do like two midnight shifts on like, say, Wednesday night and Thursday night for your Thursday, Friday. And then I would work two 12-hour shifts on the weekend, like 10:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night. So that was fucking with me. and I'm sitting there. I was kind of dealing with some insomniac and I was staying up all night and then sleeping during the day. And I was sitting in the living room. I was watching the movie Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
Yes.
And, yeah.
No, classic. Dude. But I distinctively remember hearing footsteps go from my Uncle Larry's bedroom, which was my bedroom at this point in time, and it was going clear over to the kitchen and then back. And I heard that and I was like, what? Because I'm like, I'm looking and like, I hear the footsteps. I should see a person walking and there's nobody there because I'm the only person in the fucking house. And I'm like, okay, this is creepy. So I mentioned something to my dad about it the next day. And he was just like, yeah. And I was like, what do you mean, yeah? And he was like, well, my Uncle Larry, he died on Thanksgiving in 05, I think it was. And Granny, she died spring of 06, I'm pretty sure it was. So whenever Larry was already gone, but Granny was still there. So he was sitting overnight with her, just kind of keeping an eye on her and everything, because we would have like a during the day, like, you know, at home healthcare kind of thing. But at night, Dad did all the work. So he heard that too. And what he told me is that whenever my Uncle Larry was still alive, that around 2:30 in the morning every night, he would get up, go to the kitchen, make himself a little glass of milk, drink it, and then go back to bed. And he also told me to watch the back door from the kitchen going to the pantry, because he said he's seen that open up before. And he said that, you know, Larry used to go in the middle of the night, he would go in there and go into the pantry and start counting all the different cans. And I was like, okay, because Uncle Larry, he ended up passing away of brain cancer from the Agent Orange in Vietnam. And so that was pretty wild, because I distinctively remember a couple times seeing that door going from the kitchen to the pantry, because you got to be careful, because there's also back steps going down there, so you could like fall and bust your ass big time. So I remember seeing that open too, and that was weird. I mean, it's just been really, really weird out there. And I know we've been going for like an hour and 18 minutes. I don't know how much time you guys got, but I would like to mention one more thing that we talked about earlier, the whole thing that kind of kicked off paranormal in general in my life, and you guys are tied into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was 9 years old, I saw the Hat Man, but I didn't know I saw the Hat Man until a few years ago, whenever you guys posted a picture. You guys did your episode about the Hat Man, and you posted your picture, this picture of this African-American family that there was this elderly lady in there, and the Hat Man was standing behind her with his hand on it, on her shoulder. Dude, when I saw that, that like just freaked me the fuck out, because I'm like, whoa, I've seen that, you know? And I mean, it was just like, bam, like my first ever sleepover, and I see the fucking Hat Man. Dude, it was so crazy. It's me and my friend Thomas Rye. We were in Herron, Illinois. That's where we grew up at. And he lived like three doors down from me. And he had a satellite dish, you know. So, like, of course I wanted to go stay the night at his house. He could get Sci-Fi Channel, man. Because it was like one of those giant ones in the backyard, you know. They turn them into anything whenever you can.
Yes.
Dude, it was so cool. But it was raining that night, storming really good, actually. And it was so weird, man, because, like, we saw, like, he had a, his living room, his house set back a little bit from the house that was right next to it. So, like, his living room window, we could look out and we could see, like, the steps going up and leading to the front door of the house next to us. So we were sitting there watching TV. It was storming and like just big flash of lightning. And he goes, hey man, somebody's over there trying to get into whatever the people's names were. I can't remember anymore, but trying to get in their house. I was like, what? We look over and there's just like this figure standing like right in front of the front door of the house, just looking like it wants to go in, but it's just standing there. Right. Really weird. So then, next thing we know, it's right there at the window looking at us.
Nope.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And like, it was so fucking weird, man, because this thing, number one, I never did see its eyes. And like, every time you hear about the Hat Man, you always hear about glowing eyes and shit. I didn't see that. What I saw was a complete black silhouette wearing like, the outline of it looked like it had a trench coat with like its collar flipped up, and it had a fedora hat on. Really weird. And like the rain, whenever the rain was coming down, it almost looked like the rain was like bouncing off of it before it ever hit it.
Oh, that's weird.
That's weird.
Very, very weird. So we see it. We hurry up and run around to like the way it was. Like you had the window right there, which would have been the north side of the house. The couch that we were sitting on facing the TV was facing like we were looking dead right to see it. So we like went and hid around the other end of the couch from it, right? Because, you know, that's what you do when you're 9 years old.
Of course.
Like, okay, it can't see us anymore. And then we hear his front porch door open.
Fuck that.
And then we see it looking through because, like, his parents' front door, they had their front porch. It was a completely, like, closed-in front porch. And it was, like, I don't know, three or four steps, and then you were at the front door. And his front door was one of those old ones that had, like, the, like, three rectangles, like, windows in it, you know?
Yep.
And it was looking, like, right. It was just standing there, just, like, staring straight ahead. And like, oh, dude, like it's giving me chills just remembering this. So that's happening. We go run back around the couch the other way and we're trying to hide from it. But like the whole time, man, like, I mean, now I know it as an anxiety attack. But back then, I didn't know what that was. But, you know, like you have an anxiety attack, like your heart's racing and like, oh, yeah. You just, like the super anxious feeling and everything, like scared to death kind of deal. That's how we were feeling. And I've talked to some people about it. And I mean, I've been on some other shows talking about that because, you know, before I saw Bigfoot, that was like my big story of any kind of paranormal activity I had, really. And a lot of people say that maybe the reason that it was doing that was because it was like feeding off of our fear.
Very and well could have been.
We were definitely scared shitless.
Because it almost seems like it didn't notice you until you noticed it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It knew that it was caught trying to get into the neighbor's house, and then it's like, all right, we're gonna transfer our focus over here.
Yeah. And I mean, it was there. Man, I don't know. The whole thing may have only been 5-10 minutes at the most, but dude, it felt like hours.
Yeah, I bet with that amount of fear running through you, hell yeah, I probably felt like it was an all night thing.
Yeah. And like, so then like the next morning we told his parents what happened and everything, and the mom just kind of brushed it off, but the dad, he just kind of had this like look on his face like he knew what we were talking about. And so like he went out, walked around and everything, walked down their driveway because their driveway was in between the two houses. And he said he found a strange looking heel print. Like something was standing there, but I never saw it, so I couldn't really tell you. That's just what he said.
That's weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
Because I mean, it had to have been physical because it opened the door, the porch door. So, I mean, there had to be some kind of physicality to it, unless it's fucking Patrick Swayze from Ghost kicking can.
I hope it was.
we solved the hat, man. It's Patrick Swayze. And it didn't, you didn't see any kind of facial features?
No, dude, it was straight black, pitch black. Like almost, I mean, like honestly, like if you look at that picture that you guys posted again, that's what it looked like. Just the collar on the jacket was flipped up. Kind of like an old detective or something, you know?
Yeah, that's what it makes me think of, as an old detective.
My ex-wife had seen it pretty much her entire like younger life. And that was like, I had heard about it, but I didn't like realize that it was a paranormal, like a global paranormal phenomena until later on. And then I was like, holy shit, like people, it's crazy to me that there's a phenomenon that people are experiencing exactly the same way across everywhere, you know?
Dude, I've got a theory on, like, because, like, Steve, me and you are the same age, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm 40. Are you 40 or just about 40? Yeah. Yeah, see? I have a feeling, like, I was talking with a few of my friends about this. Like, think about the shows we watched as kids. Like, you've got, like, you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Eerie Indiana.
Yeah.
You've got Goosebumps. You've got Tales from the Crypt, all that stuff, right? Almost like we were being prepared to run into situations like that whenever we were older.
Like a pre-programming kind of thing.
It's just an idea, but it really, like, the more and more I think about it and the more I've experienced, it's like, shit. Like, might be onto something.
Yeah, it like, stuff like that is kind of almost like, the more we dig into it and the more we learn about it, the more you look back at that stuff is almost like, that's kind of like soft disclosure going on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And with Unsolved Mysteries and In Search Of and all of that stuff that, like, we used to be glued to, X-Files and said,
the kids. Tell me one person into the paranormal that doesn't reach back to X-Files.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That guy that made that show, he had to have been on the inside on some information. I mean,
sure.
Oh, dude.
Him and the guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, okay.
No doubt.
Matt Groening's a fucking time traveler.
Like, what was it? The pilot episode of The Lone Gunman was about the World Trade Center getting attacked. And then it wasn't, maybe a year later, it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's bonkers.
Well, yeah. I love those guys. Especially went out the way they did on the show.
Oh, man. Oh, we'll probably get ready to wrap her up there. Okay. Dude, that area sounds. Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, thanks for coming
awesome.
On.
Yeah, dude. Like I said, I've been listening to you guys for years. I want to say it was like late 2020 when I started checking you guys out, because I heard you guys were from Southern Illinois, and I was like, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to support those guys.
We were babies just then. Yeah, we were baby podcast back then.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, my favorite episode, like, of your earlier episodes that you guys did, I really enjoyed the one about the watcher of that house in New Jersey, but there was this one episode you guys did that had to deal with this, like, tunnel and these, like, I think it was construction workers or something. And, like, they would go down, like, one guy would go down, and before he could get through to the other side, people were already saying they saw him on the other side coming out and everything. Dude, I think it was freaky.
Somewhere in England, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to go back and revisit some of those episodes. It might be cool to, like, go back and
rehash them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was a good one, man. I mean, I love all of them, but, like, that was one of my favorite ones because it was just like, that's one of those things that you just don't hear a lot about. So
yeah,
whenever you guys did that, it was like, oh shit, that's cool as hell.
Oh, dude, you have to keep us updated if anything else wild goes on there. It sounds like a hot spot.
Hell, next May, you know, work it out with your guys' work schedules and stuff. You guys are more than welcome to come out. I'll show you around, see if we can't find anything.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sick.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Kyle, get our
hell yeah, you know I will.
Oh, dude. Yeah, we'll have to get it lined out. But Definitely. Thanks for hanging out with us.
No problem.
And sharing your stories with us in the Holocult.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, on that note, Holocult, thanks for hanging out with us this Monday. Hope everybody's having a good work week. Again, check us out on our social medias. And until we meet again, remember to stay safe, stay weird. And if you got a squatchy area, shoot us an email. We'll talk about it. We'll compare notes here. And again, thanks, Bryce, for taking the time to come in and hang out with us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure as well.